नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 19 चैप्टर एंटाइटल द आइलैंड ऑफ जम्बूद्वीप टेक्स्ट 5 मर्त्यावतारस्तु इह मर्त्यशिक्षणं रक्षोवधायैव न केवलं विभो कुतोऽन्यथा स्याद्रमतः स्वात्मनः सीताकृतानि व्यसना ईश्वरस्य। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन: इट वॉज ऑर्डर्ड दैट रावण चीफ ऑफ द राक्षसास could not be killed by anyone but a man. And for this reason, Lord Ramchandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared in the form of a human being. Lord Ramchandra's mission, however, was not only to kill Ravana, but also to teach mortal beings that material happiness centered around sex life or centered around one's wife is the cause of many miseries. He is a self-sufficient Supreme Personality of Godhead and nothing is lamentable for Him. Therefore, why else could He be subjected to tribulations by the kidnapping of Mother Sita? Purport: when the Lord appears in this universe in the form of a human being, He has two purposes. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya cha duskritam, to destroy the demons and to protect the devotees. To protect the devotees, the Lord not only satisfies them by His personal presence, but also teaches them so that they will not fall down from devotional service. By His personal example, Lord Ramchandra taught the devotees that it is better not to enter married life, which is certainly followed by many tribulations. As confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.45, यन मैथुनादि गृहमेदि सुखम हितोच्छम कंडुयेन करयोर इव दुख दुखम तृप्यन्ति नेह कृपणा बहु दुख भाजा कंडुतिवन मनस्यजम विषहेत धीरा। कृपणास दोज हु आर नॉट एडवांस इन स्पिरिचुअल नॉलेज एंड हु आर देयरफॉर जस्ट द ऑपोजिट ऑफ द ब्राह्मणास जनरली टेक टू मैरिड फैमिली लाइफ which is a concession for sex. Thus they enjoy sex again and again, although that sex is followed by many tribulations. This is a warning to devotees. To teach this lesson to devotees and to human society in general, Lord Sri Ramchandra, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, underwent a series of tribulations because He accepted a wife, Mother Sita. Lord Ramchandra underwent these austerities, of course, only to instruct us. Actually, He never had any reason to lament for anything. Another aspect of Lord's instructions is that one who accepts a wife must be a faithful husband and give her full protection. Human society is divided into two classes of men: those who strictly follow the religious principles and those who are devotees. By His personal example, Lord Ramchandra wanted to instruct both of them how to fully adopt the discipline of the religious system and how to be a beloved and dutiful husband. Otherwise, he had no reason to undergo apparent tribulations. One who strictly follows religious principles must not neglect to provide all facilities for the complete protection of his wife. There may be some suffering because of this, but one must nevertheless endure it. That is the duty of a faithful husband. By His personal example, Lord Ramchandra demonstrated this duty. Lord Ramchandra could have produced hundreds and thousands of Sitas from His pleasure energy, but just to show the duty of a faithful husband, He not only rescued Sita from the hands of Ravana, but also killed Ravana and all the members of his family. Another aspect of the teachings of Lord Ramachandra is that although Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his devotees may apparently suffer from material tribulations, they have nothing to do with such tribulations. They are Mukta Purushas, liberated persons under all circumstances. It is therefore said in Chaitanya Bhagavad, Yata dekhe Vaishnavira Vyavar Dukha, Nishchay Janiha Taha Paramananda Sukha. A Vaishnava is always firmly situated in transcendental bliss because of engagement in devotional service. Although he may appear to suffer material pains, his position is called transcendental bliss in separation, viraha. The emotions a lover and beloved feel when separated from one another are actually very blissful, although apparently painful. Therefore, separation of Lord Ramachandra from Sita Devi, as well as the consequent tribulation they suffered, is but another display of transcendental bliss. That is the opinion of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur.
And especially not for this exalted, to speak something about the exalted nature of the Srimad Bhagavatam, but upon the order of senior devotees, we shall try to make an insignificant attempt to glorify the Srimad Bhagavatam and the wonderful devotees and the pastimes of the Lord in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Translation once again. It was ordained that Ramana, chief of the Rakshasas, could not be killed by anyone but a man. And for this reason, Lord Ramchandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared in the form of a human being. Lord Ramchandra's mission, however, was not only to kill Ravana, but also to teach mortal beings that material happiness centered around sex life or centered around one's wife is the cause of many miseries. He is a self-sufficient Supreme Personality of Godhead and nothing is lamentable for him. Therefore, why else could he be subjected to tribulations by the kidnapping of Mother Sita? So, in this wonderful verse, the incarnation of the Supreme Lord Ramchandra's descent, multifarious purposes which the Lord accomplishes, is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam in this verse here. So, Srila Prabhupada mentions practically three things. First point is that the Supreme Lord not only annihilates the demons, but protects his devotees also. But protecting devotees is not protecting the devotees external. The externals of a devotee, the protecting the wealth, the opulence, or the body, or the material situation of a devotee. But rather the Lord protects a devotee in such a way that he will not fall down from devotional service. And therefore the Lord says, one who takes to this devotional service and executes the devotional service, then at least the guarantee is that he will not fall down from this valuable human form of life and will get another human form of life. But the whole aim of the human form of life is not to get another human form. The aim of the human form of life is to transcend this material existence and ascend to the realm of service, unmotivated, undevotional service to the Supreme Lord in the realm of Sri Golok Vrindavan. So this is the first point that Srila Prabhupada explains. And the Lord does so not by just instructing, but he gives these teachings or gives these instructions by vivid examples, by very, very illustrative examples. And that is why the Lord personally descends. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Anyanyas chintayanto maam ye jana paripasate, tesham nitya yo abhiyuktanam, yogakshema vahami aham. Krishna personally comes, vahami aham. I personally come and preserve what the devotee has and protect and supply what the devotee lacks. So the second point which is explained here is Lord Ramchandra's specific descent is teaching to both the pious people and for the devotees class that about the dangers of entanglement in sex life, and therefore the Lord explains here by his own example how Lord Ramchandra had to undergo practically lot of tribulations when Mother Sita, when he escorted Mother Sita to the forest in exile, and every time he had to make the arrangements for protection of Mother Sita, Lakshman would guard time to time, and there would be demons coming all the time, and there was always the need to protect Mother Sita. So Lord Ramchandra had to fight many demons, had to kill many demons, still he could not save that situation of kidnapping of Mother Sita by Ravana. So however, the Lord tried, in this sense, trying to show by example, there will be definitely calamities happening in this material existence. Even if one is very, very exalted, or when we think that we come to devotional service, there won't be any calamities, or there will be quite a bit concession for miseries in this material existence, but rather it happens otherwise, that the devotees are subjected to so many tribulations. Can take the example of the Pandavas. They suffered only miseries and tribulations before actually they could attain the kingdom. And when they actually got the kingdom, they got the news that the Lord had disappeared from this planet, and they left this kingdom. So there was no way that actually they enjoyed that kingdom which they attained after a great struggle. So Pandavas also, they show their example, by their example, how they were always depending on the mercy of the Lord. Their only wealth and opulence was their complete dependence upon the shelter of the Supreme Lord. So this way, the second teaching is wonderfully explained by Srila Prabhupada in this purport. And also for the pious people, how a faithful husband must protect one's chaste wife, even if there might be so many tribulations. Lord Ramchandra vowed to kill Ravana, and for that he had to undergo a lot of arrangements for military phalanxes, setting up the military phalanxes, then setting up that huge bridge over Lanka, the ocean, and then that battle was fierce, so many people killed, and in this way the Lord finally rescued Mother Sita. So this shows the faithfulness towards one's wife. And the last teaching which Srila Prabhupada gives in this purport is that even if the Lord is apparently seem to be suffering so many tribulations, and his devotees also seem to appear to suffer so many material miseries, actually because the Lord is transcendentally situated, even his accepting this so-called material miseries is one of the leelas. That we'll see later on. And Prabhupada mentions here that emotions a lover and beloved feel when they are separated from one another are actually very blissful, although apparently painful. Therefore, the separation of Lord Ramchandra from Sita Devi, as well as the consequent tribulation they suffered, is but another display of transcendental bliss. So, in this very wonderful, in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in fact, Lord Brahma is answering questions of Narad Muni as to the creation of the Lord. How has this creation taken place? How this creation is coming into existence, and how it is maintained and how it is annihilated? So Lord Brahma is explaining about the technicalities, how the Lord appears as Balram, then Shankarshan, and then Mahavishnu, and then incarnates as Karanodakshaya Vishnu, from there Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and Brahma is born from the lotus flower coming from the navel of Lord Vishnu. And the first thing that Lord Brahma encounters is darkness and ignorance. He specifically appeared to create this material existence but there is all darkness around him. And the first person in this universe was a bewildered personality. No doubt this material world is full of perplexities. Prabhupada mentions in this wonderful Gita purports that in this material world, by nature's own course of ways, these perplexities will come. Just as there is the forest fire. The forest fire has no reason, or there is no reason for the forest fire to start. But still, the fire awakens and destroys everything. Similarly, Lord Brahma is offering his wonderful prayers and is explaining that because I took the complete shelter of the Lord, first of all, I heard this verse tapa, and as soon as I heard this verse tapa, I immediately acted upon those instructions of the Lord. And when I performed this tapasya for 1,000 celestial years, the Lord was pleased with my tapasya. The tapasya was not for attaining some prestige, some position, but was to attain enlightenment. And therefore, all the tapasya, therefore it said, tapo devyam putra ka yena shuddheta sattvam brahma sokhyam tu anantam. All the austerities that one must perform in devotional service is to please the Lord. And Lord Brahma performed the severe penances, and the Lord appeared to him and he gave him the vision of the spiritual world and then gave him the sufficient understanding and knowledge to create this material existence. But he had no means, he had no ingredients for the material existence to create. Therefore, he took all the ingredients from the bodily limbs of the Lord and he performed sacrifices, thus pleasing the various authorities. And in this way, Brahmaji says finally, because I have held very steadfastly the lotus feet of the Lord with great eagerness, therefore, whatever I say is perfect. And therefore, knowledge I am giving you is not contaminated by the three modes of material nature, because what knowledge I have given him, what knowledge I have received from the Supreme Lord in complete shelter is as good as the Lord's speaking to me is now that what I am speaking to you in an uncontaminated way. And in this way, I cannot be affected by material modes of nature. So the whole qualification of Lord Brahma is in that I have held the lotus feet of the Lord with great eagerness. And we can see in life of devotees who have this great eagerness, tatra lolyam ekalam api mulyam, that the only price for receiving this wealth, the treasure of Krishna Prem, is that great lolyam. It has that intense greed. And this is what Lord Brahma has offering. And therefore he said, I can never fall down from my position because of my great eagerness to catch hold of the lotus feet of the Lord. So we see in the life of Brahma, and we also see in the life of so many great souls, that one who has steadfastly taken the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, they will never be overwhelmed by this material energy. Though we see in some cases that Arjuna, time to time he was bewildered. But that was a temporary. Even after hearing the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was reluctant and hesitant for some time to execute the Lord, order of the Lord. Like at the time of killing of Karna, he hesitated to act under the order of the Lord. The Lord had to again explain him and instruct him that he must kill Karna. When his son Abhimanyu was killed, still Arjuna again became in the same lamentable position, not able to come over above his lamentation. But soon, because he was always situated under the shelter of Lord Krishna, Lord Krishna was always guiding Arjuna. In this way, Arjuna, though he was temporarily bewildered, he was never lost. The Lord says, one who is worshipping me with this great devotion, he is never lost to me and I am never lost to him. So here the Lord protects his devotees who has taken their shelter with great eagerness. and protects him from falling down from the platform of devotional service. We also see in the case of Bharat Maharaj in the fifth canto, though apparently he became a deer in his next life, the Lord preserved his consciousness, and because of his eagerness and determination, even though he had got the body of a deer, he transcended this body of deer in his next life and became Jad Bharat, who was especially aware of the duty of self-realization and was very much determined not to fall down again. And this determination is a very important quality in the life of a devotee, that one must never fall down back again. And Srila Prabhupada said, one of his disciples were asking in New Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada, we try to practice this devotional service, but sometimes because of weakness, we are not able to practice all those rules and regulations. So Prabhupada said, weakness? What kind of weakness? If you have no determination, that means one is an animal. And therefore, especially the devotees must develop this determination, that after having taken to this process of Krishna consciousness, be determined enough not to fall back in this material existence. So the cause of material existence here is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 9th chapter, text number 45, that one who grihamedi sukham hitucham, a materialistic householder who simply wastes his life day and night, indulging in sex life and thereby maintaining his family members, and makes this as the prime occupation of his life, and centers his duties and his activities simply trying to maintain the status quo and advance in his material life, such a person is condemned to material existence birth after birth. But here is wonderful, Prabhupada is mentioning specifically, this is a warning to devotees. And therefore Srimad Bhagavatam is simply a combination of alerting and encouraging simultaneously. So Srimad Bhagavatam is all about alerting the devotee, the sadhaka, to be on alert from the pitfalls of this material existence. At the same time, encourages to practice devotional service in a determined way. So here it is said that the Lord Ramchandra went the series of tribulations not for because he was attached to Mother Sita, but he simply allowed this pastime, or he just enacted this pastime simply for the devotees to take lessons from this. Also, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself in his life, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, at the age of 24, he renounced his family life and he took to the sannyas order. The devotees were simply weeping and weeping and weeping, seeing the Lord, his beautiful, blackish, beautiful hair were being shedded off from his wonderful head. But the Lord simply took up this determined action to show that unless one is determined, one will not be able to overcome the dualities of this material existence. The qualification for liberation is to simply tolerate and go ahead performing one's duties without any kind of hindrances placed. So here, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just to deliver the conditioned souls, he did not have to accept sannyas order just to deliver the living entities. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whenever he would be addressed by the others as the incarnation of the Supreme Lord, he would simply held his hands to his ears and loudly shout, "Vishnu, Vishnu." Not been able to tolerate that any human being should be addressed as the Supreme Lord. And therefore he taught everyone that there are so many incarnations nowadays, and therefore no one should accept an incarnation without properly being testified. So Supreme Lord, even though he was the Supreme Lord himself, did not accept that when others address him as the Supreme Lord. And therefore it was an instruction for all the time to come for this bogus incarnation. And Srila Prabhupada says that the Lord taught by his own example as a devotee how one should practice devotional service. So this detachment from sex life is also very important. So in the second kind of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Lord Brahma starts, after concluding his talk on the wonderful creation of the Lord, how his creation, all this material existence, but the whole material existence is being, creation is actually the mercy of the Lord by which actually he could create. He simply was placing things in the right order, but all the ingredients were given, the intelligence was given, and Brahmaji was kind of an assembly manufacturer in a maybe like a car manufacturing company. All the various components are coming together, and the assembly manufacturer simply places these components in the right place. So Brahmaji is not a creator in one sense. He simply assembled all those ingredients for the creation. And then Lord Brahma explains that even whenever there is a kind of a disturbance in his creative functions or the functions of this material existence, the Lord incarnates time to time. And therefore the process of maintenance also is dependent on the Supreme Lord. So Lord Brahma explains all the wonderful incarnations that has taken place, right from the boar incarnation, and explains how that boar, it was simply his leela to hold that, to rescue the earth and kill the first demon. So the Lord Srila Prabhupada wrote in the purport that there was a devotee and there are demons. So there is always the Vaishnavas and those who are opposed to this process of Krishna consciousness as demons. So the first demon was Hiranyaksha, and the Lord killed Hiranyaksha. Then Lord Brahma explains the further incarnations of the Supreme Lord. And then he explains about the incarnation of Nar Narayan. These incarnations of Nar Narayan were simply engaged in great severe austerities. And Prabhupada mentions in that wonderful purport that they performed simply austerities just to show this example. So Prabhupada mentions in that purport that in the order of tapasya, the principle is that one must strictly dissociate with the member of the opposite sex. And therefore Prabhupada explains the brahmachari, grahastha, vanprastha, sannyas, ashram, and explains how the three orders of life, one has to be detached from the association of the opposite sex. And then Prabhupada mentions that the pastime of Nar Narayan is to show that how when one performs this austerity of detaching from sex life, there will be many obstacles placed by the higher, like the demigods. The demigods were envious that how is that someone is performing such a great austerity, and therefore they try to disturb the austerities of Nar Narayan Rishi, and they send cupids. And this cupid were simply, they were all neglected by the Supreme Lord, as if there was no way to agitate them. Because the Lord Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport that just as a confectioner, one who is the owner of sweet meat shops, he does not get attracted by his own sweets. Similarly, the creation of the Lord, the beauties, the Lord is so beautiful that all the beauties are emanating from him, and therefore no beauty can actually attract him in any way. The Lord is known as Apta Kama. He is completely self-satisfied and is not dependent upon anyone else to satisfy himself. And therefore the Lord is completely Atmaram Apta Kama. He is completely self-satisfied and is Apta Kama. That is, he has no desires to be fulfilled. He can fulfill all of his desires independently. So in this way, this wonderful example shown by Nar Narayan Rishi. So Prabhupada mentions that one who has taken to the family life must also follow in the footsteps of those great souls. So Narad Muni was once seeing that wonderful opulence of the Lord in Dwarka, was residing in 16,108 palaces with 16,108 queens. How is the Lord able to maintain, and how is Lord able to expand his pastimes, and how is he dealing with each of his wives? a very significant thing to be noted. Even Narad Muni is interested, how the Lord manage, right? So it said that Narad Muni, he came there and he saw the Lord, and he observed the Supreme Lord on a daily basis. So the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna, as soon as the time for the Brahma Murta was there, the cocks were making their sounds, and then the Supreme Lord woke up immediately. And right, even when he was sleeping with those beautiful queens, he immediately woke up because it was a time for Brahma Murta. The queens were very, very dissatisfied. Like the gopis, they were dissatisfied with Brahma's creation, that they had made such eyelids which would blink and would not be able to see the Lord. Similarly, the queens of Dwarka would not want to experience this separation from the Supreme Lord and wanted to be in the association of the Lord and not separate from Him. But the Lord, He woke up and then He showed that one must wake up early in the morning for spiritual activities. So Prabhupada mentions that by nature's arrangement, the crowing of the cocks warns of the Brahma Murta hour. There is no need for alarm clocks. As soon as the cocks crow early in the morning, it is to be understood that is the time to rise from bed. And therefore, we see that alarm clocks also not so efficient in waking us up, as much as the cocks were efficient in waking at the time of Brahma Murta hour. Right? There was no need to set an alarm clock the day before, the night before. And the Lord showed by His example of His readiness and alertness that it was a time to practice spiritual activities. And by regulation, He would get up. Then the Lord would get up and this wonderful breeze on the Parijata flowers would blow. And Prabhupada again mentions that this Parijata flower was not an artificial flower. Right? The breeze was so enlivening. So maybe there is no breeze here, but nevertheless the Lord showed that one must execute this spiritual life daily. So in this way the Lord would rise early in the morning and He would meditate on Himself. So Prabhupada mentions that it is not that one must start sitting and meditate himself, trying to follow the footsteps of the Lord, but trying to meditate on Radha and Krishna, the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And Prabhupada mentions that there is no difference between meditating on the eternal forms of Radha and Krishna and the chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. So, such a simple process that one has to simply wake up early in the morning and meditate on the wonderful or chant this Maha Mantra, and it is Golokera Premadana Harinama Sankirtana. It is directly descending from the Golok Vrindavan. So the Lord, in this way, would regularly then bathe and then He would give charity to the Brahmanas. So, in this way, the Lord showed the ideal duty of a householder. And in this way, He showed how one can be completely aloof from all the attractions and the devotions in this household life by simply following a regulated lifestyle. In this way, Srila Prabhupada explains that one must also understand the aspect of teaching is that although Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, His devotees may apparently suffer from material tribulations, they have nothing to do with such tribulations. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that all the obstacles and all that difficulties that I face in my spiritual life are simply great ecstasies. It is not that in the calmest hour of our Krishna consciousness that we are very eager, enthusiastic, begging for shelter and crying out for the mercy of the Lord. It is only in times of dire crisis, great tribulations and trials that we take to this shelter of the Supreme Lord. When we come before the deities, when we have no problems, seemingly we have no problems, that we think that we have no problems in this material existence is a big illusion itself. But time to time this illusion creeps up. then we don't feel like begging mercy from the Lord, that please protect me, please accept me in your shelter, please let me serve you unconditionally. But rather, when there are great times of difficulties, we come before the deities and we pray intensely for practically hours. And therefore, the devotee does not basically ask for calamities, but already that is the biggest calamity that has happened, is that Devamis Swami was once mentioning that the biggest calamity is that when we wake up in the morning with this material body, that is the biggest calamity, right? Because this material body is completely the reservoir of all material miseries, and that itself is the biggest calamity. But Srimati Kunti Devi prays, even after undergoing so many tribulations, she was not satiated with the experience of, with that blissful experience of taking the shelter of the Lord. So the tribulations trigger off our shelter, our begging for the mercy of the Lord, and when the Lord reciprocates with this shelter and that begging, that reciprocation is what enlivens and surcharges that devotion, that devotee in his devotional service. And therefore, Srimati Kunti Devi's prays, Vipada Santu Ta Shashvat Tatra Tatra Jagat Guru. And she says that, let this calamities come again and again. Why? Because this calamities come again and again, we are able to remember you. And when we are able to remember your wonderful names, qualities, pastimes, form, then because of this intense and continuous remembrance, we will not be able to, we will be freed from this material existence by entering into this samsara again and again. So the Lord is also, for us, we should be praying the Lord for accepting us in His shelter all the time. And in times of difficulties, it is a time to express our faithfulness, our loyalty to the process of Krishna consciousness, that we don't go away. Srila Prabhupada was once mentioning about his disciples leaving his movement. And Srila Prabhupada said that, why is that my disciples, so many of my disciples have left this Krishna consciousness movement? Prabhupada, different times of the time, he gave different reasons. And he said that because they could not carry on this tapasya of controlling the senses. And therefore, if one is not having this kind of control, like Prabhupada's example of the cat does not require any kind of invitation for food. Oh, please come and have some food, or some milk is there. It just comes and just snatches away the milk. But the Lord, but the human being, he does not go in anyone's house or does not enter any shop and just takes food without invitation or without paying the proper price. So that means that human form of life is meant for control and restraint. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada explained that because these devotees, they could not simply manifest these human qualities, therefore they could not survive in this movement. And then Srila Prabhupada said for other times that because my devotees, Prabhupada asked, what is the reason that they have left this movement? Prabhupada said, because they simply came to take. Because they simply came to take and they did not give, therefore they could not sustain in this process of Krishna consciousness. Because the process of Krishna consciousness means simply giving. If one gives, in giving one receives. But at an advanced stage of Krishna consciousness, even in that giving, there is no receiving, and the Lord simply takes and takes and takes from us. But because we are not so advanced that Krishna is demanding surrender in the Bhagavad Gita, it's a very difficult stage to practice. Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam raja. And then Krishna says, aham tvam sarva papevya mokshayishami mahasucha. Lord Krishna places demands or places conditions, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has put no condition. Anyone who simply takes the holy name of the Lord and processes and practices this process of Krishna consciousness with great determination, eagerness and greed, for such a devotee, the Supreme Lord has arranged so wonderful facilities through His representative Srila Prabhupada, who has given us all the facilities by which one can execute this process of Krishna consciousness in a very determined way in the association of devotees. And in this way, when one becomes thoroughly seasoned by these tribulations, one becomes thoroughly purified, then one is qualified to enter the spiritual world. And in this way, we can learn so many wonderful lessons from the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. And in this way, one has to take inspiration, one has to act upon that inspiration, and one has to beg for the mercy to be continuously inspired in the process of Krishna consciousness. And this wonderful Srimad Bhagavatam is one of the sole means by which one's heart will be pacified, one's heart will be satisfied by simply hearing about the wonderful pastimes, the glories of his great devotees. And in this way, one can surpass this material existence by continuing this process of Krishna consciousness in a steadfast, determined, and an eager manner. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any comments? Any questions?
Guruji, in the Ayamal section, Prabhupada writes that there are so many dangers in this material world that from any exalted stage one can fall down at any time. So how do we reconcile the two statements Prabhupada says here, that if one is not determined, one is an animal? So what does Prabhupada mean? Because determination also depends on Lord. If Lord gives, then Lord's material manifestation is so powerful that one, even if one is very much determined, one can fall down. Prabhupada himself says.
So, Srila Prabhupada gave a wonderful example of a rope in the well. So, sometimes when we have fallen this well of material existence, the rope is coming to us. And the rope is been given by these previous acharyas, and they are telling, hold on to this rope. Right? Hold on to this rope and I will pull you out of this material existence. I will pull you out of this well. But then you start saying that, oh, how can I take charge of this rope without your mercy? I need your mercy to catch this rope. Right? And he says, I cannot catch this rope without your mercy, therefore I am unable to catch this rope. And you say that I am simply unable to do so. Now that is not an excuse, that just because one is not holding that rope, oh, I am not able to catch that rope without your mercy. That mercy is that rope, right? And that mercy is coming. You simply have to catch it. You don't have to do anything else. Prabhupada said you don't have to do anything else in this. Just stick to this association of devotees, stick to this boat of Krishna consciousness, of which Srila Prabhupada is the captain. The boat will be, you are on the boat, and the boat might suffer various tides. Sometimes there might be high tide and the boat might be going quite up. But you don't have to feel that, oh, I'm insecure. As long as you're in the boat, and as long as you think, oh, what is this? I'm completely in this middle of this ocean and this boat is not capable enough. Let me jump outside. So sometimes we are not able to take that rope, and when we show off the responsibility to the mercy of the Lord. As long as the Lord does not show me mercy, I will not take to this process of Krishna consciousness seriously. But the process itself, which is awarded to us, that we are able to chant this holy name of the Lord, itself is the greatest mercy. The association of devotees itself is the greatest mercy. The wonderful instruction that Srila Prabhupada is giving the Srimad Bhagavatam. If you don't read the instruction given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we cannot blame anyone else but ourselves. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam is given to us. Prabhupada said, these books are not for my... These books are not meant to distribute. These books are meant for my devotees. So the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada has painstakingly given us. So the rope Srila Prabhupada has given us painfully, we simply have to catch hold of it. And that should be with determination. Not that in the middle of the well, we feel, oh, maybe the person may not be able to lift me up. Rather, I leave this. Why should I make a farce out of myself that I'm holding on this rope? And therefore, the philosophy is rope in the well. Right? So we simply have to catch hold of that rope. We have to simply be on that boat. Prabhupada said, just stick to this process of Krishna consciousness, like the fruit which is simply sticking onto the branch of the tree. eventually the fruit will ripen. But as long as if it gets disconnected, then there is no hope for the fruit to be ripened. And so therefore, Ussahan, Nishchayat and Dhairyat. There has to be patience. One has to execute with determination, enthusiasm and patience. And then, Tattat Karma Pravartana. These all activities. And then, in the association of devotees, one will experience this manifestation of the awakening of our Krishna consciousness in due course of time. But we have to, our duty is to simply apply. Mercy will come. As long as you keep applying, the mercy will keep coming. Right?
I was asking about that statement of Prabhupada. Prabhupada said that even if one is in an exalted position of spiritual life, one can fall down at any time.
Therefore, when one is not alert, Prabhupada says this walking of spiritual life is like walking on a razor's edge. If you are not alert, then you get cut. But if you shave properly, right, then you won't get cut. But if your diversion, your attention is diverted, then immediately that accident can take place. As long as you are driving your car, holding both the wheels or noise, you are on course and you're not diverted by anything else. It's like spiritual life is like driving a vehicle. You can't be just taking a nap or just taking some time out to talking some people. You have to be focused. As long as you are focused, there might be some accidents on the road. And you might see from that accident that this simply was accident because of inattentiveness. And therefore, in spiritual life, one has to be very much attentive. If the Srimad Bhagavatam is simply giving warnings and encouragements. There is, when you take a left turn, when you take a steep path, or when there is a narrow bend, or there is a one lane, so then there is a signboard which is placed on these ghats that now there is a very sharp bend, please drive slowly. And if you drive fast, then what happens? Accident will take place. Then we might say that accident takes place even on ghats. So we should stop driving on ghats. And if accident takes place and you are driving on a ghat, then you may say, I am going to meet an accident anyways. I just drive anyway. So if you are driving properly, if you are driving with proper caution, then an accident won't take place. You have to drive very cautiously. Just follow the instructions as they are given. Right? So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya.